Okay, my name is Connie. I'm a reader. And when I was asked to do this, I thought about recently, but my main story of hope and faith has been through years of this program. Does this go down really low? I don't want it to. So anyway, I'm going to start with today's reading. And this is a for today. Even it might not look like it, but it's the for today. September 16th. Well, a little French part. You can't pray a lie. Mark Twain. Just as it's impossible to deceive that part of me that keeps running tally of my misdeeds, so it is impossible to deceive God. The OA meetings, the one-to-one sharing, helps me to see myself honestly. As I become more aware of my defects, I become more accepting of them, seeing them as human failings, not unpardonable sins. If I can talk about them, I can pray to have them removed. Keeping my shortcomings covered up stops growth dead in its track. Honesty rids me of my life of illusion, rationalization, and self-justification. It looks and discovers and accepts. Just for today, just as the truth freed me of my obsession with food, so it can free me of other living problems. I'm not afraid to seek the truth. With our cloth glasses, you guys are fuzzy. That's great. So I don't want to stay too much on step one, except to tell you, I was the youngest girl of the family and always felt short. Always felt not good enough, not enough, just not enough. And, my closest brother to me is 5 years older than I. So it might have been a little bit unreasonable to think that I should know what they knew when I was like 2 and they were 7. And anyway, but I never felt enough. And let me turn around on here. I did one diet well in my life. That was because it was on speed. And in those days, diet pills were legal, and so I lost the weight and was wonderful, had a great, whatever, and got married, had kids. When I had, my first babies were twins. They were 8 pounds each. Afterwards, my ex had to go to Vietnam. So I was in my parents' basement with 2 babies, and all there was food. So I quickly regained all of the pregnancy weight, and it all went to my stomach. And I had a C-section, and I'll talk about that because it's from later things. So anyway, I couldn't, my next-door neighbor would drag me to everything. And I would just wait till she'd get tired of it, and then we could drop out. I am not a fighter. I just go along. And then when she's ready to drop out, okay. So she decided we should go to OA. And I thought, here we go again. Okay. So we go to OA, but there... Is there a way to keep this in? Never mind. Anyway, she dropped out. There was something here. And I wasn't sure what it was. And I think it took me at least 10 years to figure out it really is something here. It's so much better. I had a sponsor, a wonderful sponsor, still my friend. She's she really encouraged me to go back to school. But see, I felt really stupid all my life. I just wasn't enough and didn't. I really think I have some kind of dyslexia, or did as a kid, and. Because English has always been such a major hurdle. And yet, math and science were very easy for me. But I saw that as just being an easy thing. So anyway, I did go back to school, and I graduated. And I was in program. I had dropped out of program, and then came back to program, went back to school. By the end of the time I graduated, I just felt like a hypocrite. And so I relapsed. And, it just says, rarely have we seen a person fail who's thoroughly honest. So honesty is a big one. And I didn't want to be honest. I didn't know I wasn't honest. I just didn't know that it wasn't a thing. So I have a quote, and I'm not positive where I get these quotes, but it says, "We cannot reason our way out of this disease. We cannot manage our way out. Abstinence is a gift." But you know, we have to be at the right place at the right time to receive the gift. And for me, that's in OA meetings. You don't get it, or I would never have got it, just out on the streets, whatever. So anyway, I came back, and I'm going to get into the steps. So it says, rarely have we seen a person fail. And you know, even if that's true, I might just be less than average, but I just need to work a little harder and stay a little longer, and they'll come through. And I was asked, you know, there's the third edition big book, there's a Stars Don't Fall, and she says in there, are you one of us? Yeah, I'm the short one of us, okay, or the tall one of us, I guess now. And there's no doubt, I can't handle food. I mean, there's just... And it was, I have 5 kids. And there was a bunch of kids, so I always had kids to let everybody know why I'm buying all this food, you know, for the kids. But I kind of kept it up in the cabinet, you know, and all that stuff. Abstinence is a gift. You know, in the big book in page 43 says, our defense must come from a higher power. So I have to find the higher power. Well, I had a higher power, and I worked with that. And the object of the book is to find a higher power on page 45. And then 85 says, we get a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. So I need a spiritual condition. And, you know, I thought I was following God's will. And my son got into trouble. And I really didn't have a lot of experience with trouble, police trouble. And I just thought, oh, I had had an elective surgery. I had to have a hysterectomy. And I thought, well, I can't do that because I have a son that's in trouble. And you know what? I found out with that kind of trouble, it just goes on, and it's months before you have anything coming. So I went ahead and did it. It seemed like that was God's will for me to go ahead and have the surgery. Well, I had the surgery, and did I mention with the twins I had to have a cesarean? Okay, bring that up. And then the other 3 times I had to have cesarean. And so I know how to handle the surgeries and what you have to do and how you have to deal with stuff. And the last one I had an infection, but this hysterectomy I got an infection. And so the nurse was telling me, you know, they're going to come in and work on you, so I'm going to hold off on giving you pain medication. When they come, I want to give you some more. Well, they came without telling her and started working on me and opening this up without any medication. And I just felt, there was a movie at the time called Zapped. And I just felt zapped. I just felt like, you know, and so, you know, I have this dilemma. I don't know why God would do this to me, set me up and have me, because it felt like I was following his will to do this surgery, but then to have this. So I was kind of in a dilemma. And at that time, all I could do was go to extra meetings. And so I went to AA and OA and whatever meeting I could get to. And at one of them, this guy who stood up and he talked, he started saying, quit analyzing God. Well, see, when I went back to school, I'm an analyzer. I work with analyzers. Well, I was. I'm retired. Thank you, God. Anyway, so he's saying, don't quit analyzing God. So it's like, well, okay. Okay, so then, you know, do you remember when we had all those ice storms in the wintertime? And I had my daughter's Chevy S10 pickup truck. It was about a year too old, but it was a, you know, good car. And I was on the highway going 30 miles an hour, following the person in front of me, and I did not turn, I didn't move. I might have moved my head, I don't know. But I didn't do anything, and all of a sudden, bam, I'm into the concrete thing. And I could not reason, I couldn't think, there was just pain. And my 12-year-old was with me, and I didn't even think about him until he said something. And anyway, they had to take me home, out on a gurney. It's like, oh, just let me walk. I don't want anybody to have to carry me. But then, the other thing that goes on is, before I go to that, I'll probably forget by the time I get there anyway. But anyway, I'm in the room, and my 12-year-old is with me, and I hear this deep voice saying, "Don't worry, you've been through worse." And I looked around to see who was there, and it was just my son and I. And I thought, oh, okay. So there was nobody there to tell me that. And it just was a message to me, I've been through worse. And the fact was I had been through worse. However, I had ripped my mouth. I bent the steering wheel on a Chevy S10 pickup with my mouth. So the other dilemma was when they came to stitch it up, I have stitches inside and underneath here, they said, "Now this is the time if you want thinner lips, it's time to tell me." I tell you, my mind was more jumbled with that, because you could offer me thinner anything. You know what the answer is. But lips? I think they just went ahead and did it anyway. Whatever they did, I don't know. But anyway, that was just such a weird thing, you know. But so I have this dilemma going on with God. But God was there for me in a weird way. But he's been there. You've been through worse. And I have been through worse. So I'm still kind of going through all this stuff to figure out, from the surgery, to figure out where I stand with this power that I don't know that I want or not. And but I know OA is my only answer. So I came home one day from a program thing, like a Super Saturday, and the neighbor, how am I doing on time?
Okay.
The neighbor across the street came over, and they had such a hard time getting pregnant. And when she came over, she said, "Where were you?" She said, "I came over." She came to my house and to the nurse next door to me. She knew I knew CPR, and my son was a Boy Scout. And he did, well, the baby choked to death on a hot dog. And you know what? God was there for us. God was there. God, my God, who I call God, does not let babies choke to death on a hot dog. But he also doesn't let you go through the pain. You have to, you know, that's just kind of part of life. Okay, it's just kind of part of life. Glass on? Okay. So acceptance is letting go, owning something, living with it, and being at peace. You know, the spirituality of life can't be explained by logic or science. That's June 11th, I think, for today. We cannot think our way out of this disease. Man, I just like to be able to think my way out of stuff, but it doesn't work that big way. And we were in a Sunday morning meeting years back, and this young, she's an older teenager, but she's still a teenager. And I'm trying still to put all kinds of stuff in my head. And she said, "You know what? I found God in the 12 steps." And I thought that was one of the most profound things I'd heard. I needed that, because that's where I find God, in these 12 steps. In the honesty, in the courage, in the faith. What the other thing I'm talking about? Faith and hope. That's my hope, to find God in this journey. You know, I don't have to know the journey. I just have to trust God. Who I consider God. God as I can't understand him. And I don't need to understand him. I just know he's there for me. This disease is stronger than good intention and genuine desires. You know, all the desires I have and all of that, this disease is stronger than that. We need the help and guidance of a sponsor and God, mainly God, but sometimes God through skin in my sponsor. And my sponsors know suggestions work better for me. You tell me to do something, there's that little rebellious streak that comes up. But if you suggest it, it's like, oh, okay. There will always be a good excuse to eat, never a good reason. And we can't always get what we want, but if we want sometimes, we get what we need. I'm not good. Okay, so a solid abstinence with a sponsor gives us a sturdy foundation in the midst of the quicksand of food. And I don't remember where I got that quote from, sorry. You know, having or knowing a food plan is not going to help me follow it. The 12 steps help me follow it. So, I want to end it with another hospital thing I had. And I've come to like doctors who listen to you more than those that are excellent at what they're doing. Now, you need both, I understand that. But this guy, I thought, was head of both. And I guess I had to have my... fluid in my tubes. I had to have that removed. And afterwards, I was in the hospital, and it's always like the second to third day that the infections come. And I'm pre-diabetic, which never stopped me from anything. This program has kept me out of sugar for 30 years now. And that's the only thing. That is the only thing to keep me out. And anyway, so I'm pre-diabetic, and the third day, his associate comes in. And I said, oh, I really think I'm getting an infection. And he looks and examines. He said, no, you're fine. You can go home. When he left. And I was so panicked. I couldn't call anybody. I couldn't reach out anywhere. The nurses weren't around. I was just, you know, the only thing I could do was to say the Serenity Prayer over and over and over. That's all I could do. And I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, here comes my doctor, and he comes at the door. He was off that day, and he had his little 3-year-old, so the 3-year-old couldn't come in the room, so he had to stay by the door. And I told him, you know, I think I've got an infection. So he did come in and look, and he says, you know, I really think you'll be okay, but I've made it so that I've compliance department or something that lets you stay how many days. He's made it so that if I need to, I can stay another day. And that's all I needed to hear. So I kind of calmed down, and about an hour later, I thought, I don't want to be here. I'm out of here. So I left. You know, if I can do nothing else, I can say the Serenity Prayer and let God take over. And it works. It really works. Thank you.